Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
It's the English Martial Arts Podcast Show.
How are you doing?
The Habbo radio station everyone loves.
I love them a lot.
Now, over the last few episodes, we've been talking about the practical or self-defense side of the unarmed art of pugilism, the realities of what it's really like to be in a confrontation, as well as the realities of what it's like just, you know, being out in the big wide world. Now, it's really strange because in the ring or the cage, grappler beats boxer nearly every time. But on the street, and if you talk to doormen, they would rather have a boxer with them than they would a grappler, because the way a boxer moves and hits, he can take on maybe more than one person at a time, whereas a grappler is concentrated on just one person. And while he's taking that person down, the people with him can obviously run riot. Whereas if you have boxers on the door with you, they can move about quick, they can move from one person to another. So it's a strange sort of reality, really, that in real life, most of the people in the know prefer a striker with them rather than a grappler. Now, if you're both, even better. But that is not what this episode is about. I just thought I'd slip that one in. Now, I've been going through a few social media things lately, and I looked on one group and they were talking a lot about using a short stick, and people were referring them to many, many Asian arts, which are good with short sticks, big sticks, medium-sized sticks, whatever. But what really came to my mind was that in our art, we use a short stick as well. I even wrote a short self-defense book concentrating purely on the short stick, and that's what it's called, the short stick. So I posted the link, and nothing at all. I think the Asian martial arts seem a bit more esoteric than the Western martial arts. I mean, I think they always have, ever since the 70s. But the reason I'm mentioning this is that people shouldn't dismiss the Western martial arts, because they have a lot to offer, sometimes more than Asian martial arts, because the Asian martial arts are so well-worn, and they've been watered down a lot so that a lot of them become ineffective, especially the traditional styles. Whereas with the Western martial arts and the living traditions in the West with the Western martial arts, you don't get that watering down. You get the art as it was, a physically demanding, brutal, efficient art. And the short stick is part of that. Now, if you couple the techniques of the short stick with the unarmed techniques of pugilism, you have a really fearsome art of attack and defence, especially when coupled with low-line attacks such as the power kicking into the knees, shins, ankles, into the sides of the leg, you know, aiming where the main arteries go in the legs and put power into them, especially while you're using the short stick for upper-level attacks and defences. And now, when I say short stick, I'm talking about cudgeling, really, the short cudgel, which is a short stick, and very effective art it is too. We have all the defences, you have technique, you have attacks. It's just a complete art in itself. Nearly every weapon that follows the principles of the English martial arts is a complete art in itself. And when added to all the other arts, you have a massive curriculum that teaches you every single range, all the different distances covered by different weapons to unarmed. So you've got a complete art, a complete curriculum, and a complete attack and defensive art. Now, it's such a shame because all this knowledge is just there, you know, in our group waiting to go out and be shown to people. But, you know, I've got this reputation within Western martial arts or the HEMA mob, you know, I'm not a very nice person and that I hold right-wing beliefs. Well, you know, I don't know why politics gets in the way of martial arts. It doesn't in mine. And, you know, I'd love to hold seminars and things to give or show this information, but, you know, you just can't, because it's one of those things the old SJW mob sort of get themselves involved and put their noses in where they're not wanted, and it affects things. So I just stay within my group and I teach them everything that I know. And soon, I mean, we're going to have Maesters prizes. So you'll have another 3 or 4 Maesters coming out into the world from the English martial arts, and they'll be spreading the word as well. But all that aside, I'd love to, for people to come down and experience a lesson with us. I mean, I teach on a Sunday. So if anybody wants to come down on a Sunday, if you go to our website, you'll get, there's all the information you need on how to get there, where it is, the address, and come down and do a bit of training and see what you think. Because I really do push my art as a modern day ancient art, that it's as effective today as it ever was. So what should a complete martial art be? It should be spiritual, mental, and physical. And not one of them three parts is more important than the other. Maybe the mental training is a bit more important than the rest, but, you know, you need all three to make up a complete art. The most important thing in any physical side of the martial arts are principles, as well as the thinking side. Principles are the thing that should be adhered to and studied more than anything else, because they're the things that keep you alive. What you really need to do is study your principles and try and connect them to the physical art that you're practicing in, rather than just going in and performing set pieces or physical techniques. You need to be able to use principles to fight with in free play. You know, you don't want to be stuck just doing set plays and things that make you rigid and don't allow you to move freely. So you really, really need to be free thinking when you practice a martial art. Free thinking, by that I mean not being sucked into or rigid in a way that you train. You've got to be open and you've got to be relaxed. You can't just, you know, go to the gym, do these set pieces and think you're learning a martial art, because you're not. You're learning a way to move. You're learning an old style of maybe not fight, I wouldn't say fighting, but an old style of theoretic combat. But if you allow your mind to roam free and you allow your body to move naturally, then it will probably start to make more sense to you than it does when you're being taught. I mean, I think this is the time of year or the season where people who love the long sword start to get into competitions and compete for prizes and stuff like that. I mean, that's good for them. I like it a lot. There are some really good people in there, like Anders Linnard and others, that really do the sporting side of what they do great honour. And they really push it forward. And they're the ones who will be leading in the future, not the regressive types. Now, I'm really, really lucky because I've been in the martial arts for, I don't know, 34, 35 years. And I know a lot of people from every aspect of the martial arts. Japanese, Chinese, Korean, you know, Indonesian, English, German, everything really. And I know these instructors well, and we talk often. The one thing that does grab me though, that the philosophy behind them all is the same. The fact that the arts were intended as arts of war, and that they've been passed down, although some militaries still adopt the principles and fighting techniques of some of the arts are antiquated and need to move forward with their thinking. And all instructors say this, that the way they were taught was in a traditional way and it doesn't match up with today's world. I mean, obviously you get people that fight against that and they want it to be kept absolutely 100% traditional, but that's good. I mean, there are plenty of people who want to do that, but I'm talking about if you want your art to be effective and relevant to today. So although you can have your traditional side, which we have, we also have our modern side, so that when the people walk out of the gym, they're well able to protect themselves if the need ever arises. What really makes me laugh is you get people practicing certain things, but they say for self-defense they do something completely different. And what's the point in doing it in the first place? You're a bunch of idiots. You know, your art has got to be relevant. It's got to be relevant to the world you live in. I mean, if you live in a middle-class area, you do a middle-class job and your friends are all middle-class and you know, middle-class areas, blah, 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 you're rarely going to need it unless you stray into, you know, a normal area, a normal working-class area. Not that the working-class are violent, we're not. But, you know, we have different ways of settling things, you know, rather than just shout at each other and call each other names on Facebook. You know, we'll turn up at your front door and expect you to be a man and come outside and settle it, you know. And that's when you're going to need your art, when people like that turn up, because they do. I mean, I've worked the doors for a long, long time now, and I've seen some atrocious things. And, you know, in clubs, in working class areas, it's sometimes it can be absolutely frightening. I mean, the girls get involved, the men get involved, glasses, bottles are involved. You know, there are three on one and, you know, four or five girls stamping on another girl with their stilettos, you know, glasses being thrown or trying to be rammed into people's faces. You know, it's not a good thing. And it's not always like that, obviously. I mean, most people only go out for a good time. But when it does kick off, it can be really bad like that. And I've seen some really bad things, especially with knives and, you know, things like that. And you need to be prepared for these things, because if that person hadn't done that in the club, he might be walking up the road looking for someone to do it to. So you've got to be prepared. Your martial art's got to be effective. You've got to train realistically. And you've got to make sure that your mental state, you're prepared for this kind of attack. I mean, a friend of mine once, he was a doorman and a bodyguard, and he was walking along a street once, and someone ran out of an alley, grabbed him and bit a massive, massive chunk out of his lower jaw. Massive amounts of facial reconstruction. It was a terrible thing, a really bad thing. And this bloke just came out of nowhere. He was a care in the community that people had allowed to walk the streets. I don't know why, but they just did. And he did this atrocious thing just so he could get back inside, because he didn't like it out. And he ruined a man's life. You know, and that man's family's life, because it affected him deeply and still does to this day. And even when I was young, there were plenty of gang attacks. Or, I mean, not so many knives about, but there were plenty of gang attacks. And, you know, you really need to be prepared for this kind of thing. You know, I can't say any different way. You've got to use your DR, whatever you use, whatever you're training, in a realistic way. You've got to think of it in a realistic way. You've got to train in it in a realistic way. And you, mentally, you've got to prepare yourself, because, you know, these things really do happen, and not just on the news, and they don't just happen to other people. And really, don't just get trained in unarmed arts. Unarmed is all right until you're facing a weapon. Then they're practically, you know, non-existent. So you need to be trained in weapons as well. And you need to be, you need to carry legal weapons around with you, pens, pencils, keys, all that kind of, anything that can be stabbed into someone to protect yourself, you know, defensively, not attack people, but used in a defensive way, because, you know, it might be your life on the line. You know, who knows? There was a thing on Facebook the other day where moped riders tried to abduct a child from a mother in broad daylight. You know, you don't want to be able, you don't want to let people like that get away with that kind of thing. You need to make them taste their own blood. You need to make them taste their own medicine. You've got to make sure that they fall, not you. You know, you've got to make sure that you're ready. Thank you for listening to this episode of the English Martial Arts Podcast Show. And if you like this episode, please tune in for the next one. Thank you and goodbye.
Listen to us, because we listen to you.